AirTrans says it was all TSA's fault. NTSB says an extra 300 pilot had been using herbal cigarettes. And the National Weather Service offers a seminar for aviation. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 6th, 2009. AirTran Airways has issued an official statement in the wake of public outcry over the treatment of nine Muslim passengers who were removed from a New Year's Day flight. As ANN reported, eight members of one family and a friend traveling with them to a religious retreat were pulled off AirTran Flight 175 from Washington, D.C. to Orlando. According to prior reports, passengers complained after overhearing one member of the party in a casual discussion of which seats on the plane might be the safest. Early reports had AirTran refusing the nine reboarding after the other 95 passengers were let back on the plane, which departed 2 hours late. But the airline now says the predicament of the nine people was caused by the TSA and in part by the behavior of one of the passengers. Quote, later in the day, six of the nine detained passengers approached the customer service counter and asked to be rebooked to Orlando. At the time, the airline had not been notified by the authorities that the passengers were cleared to fly and would not rebook them until receiving said clearance. One passenger in the party became irate and made inappropriate comments. Local law enforcement officials came over and escorted the passengers away from the gate podium. AirTran Airways complied with all TSA, law enforcement, and Homeland Security directives and had no discretion in the matter. The nine passengers involved were all offered full refunds and may fly with AirTran Airways again after having been released from questioning and cleared by the law enforcement officials, unquote. The airline had announced plans previously to refund the unused tickets and to fly the party back from Orlando to Washington, D.C. at no cost. There's no word yet on whether that offer has been accepted. The National Transportation Safety Board has released a probable cause report on the fatal crash of an Extra 300 near Gothenburg, Nebraska last June. 39-year-old Stanley Dunn of Fort Collins, Colorado, was reportedly on his way to an aerobatics competition and was flying a leg between North Platte Municipal Airport in Nebraska and Lewis University Airport near Chicago. The board says the plane was not equipped for IFR, and briefers warned Dunn of deteriorating conditions and developing thunderstorms along his route, and reported weather when he left North Platte was overcast at 900 and thunderstorms in the area. Radar records show erratic flight with large heading changes in the last 3 minutes before the crash. A witness reported seeing the plane fly over his home near the crash site in a wet fog, wings rocking. After the aircraft disappeared from radar, it took till the next morning before the wreckage was discovered in a farm field. The report continues, quote, the pilot lost visual references outside due to low visibility, and the airplane entered a spin and impacted terrain. The pilot was fatally injured, and the airplane was destroyed. The parachute-equipped pilot did not attempt to egress the airplane. Marijuana was found in the pilot's luggage, and toxicological testing found the presence of marijuana in the pilot's blood, urine, lungs, and liver. The levels of marijuana found in the pilot indicate he had used marijuana within 3 hours prior to the accident and was likely impaired by its effects, unquote. The National Weather Service will host a workshop next month featuring seminars specially tailored for aviation weather forecasters, airport managers, airline representatives, medevac personnel, and general aviation pilots. The workshop is an all-day event and will be held February 26th at the Lexington County EMS Operations Center in South Carolina. Seminars will feature presentations by the National Weather Service, the Aviation Weather Center, the Meteorological Development Lab, the University Collaboration for Atmospheric Research, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, Chesapeake Aviation Training, Delta and United Airlines, Columbia Metropolitan Airport, and LifeNet South Carolina. If you'd like to go or need directions, see the text version of this story at aero-news.net for directions and instructions on how you can RSVP. Up next on ANN, who knew crocodile was so fattening? IATA says airlines will post more losses in 2009. And here's a guy who should know all about airframe icing. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 6th. I'm Paul Plagg. Late-night comedian Jay Leno has a running line of jokes involving increasing obesity in America. But apparently the problem isn't limited to the U.S. An Australian medevac service reportedly finds itself in need of higher payloads. Reuters reports the Australian state of New South Wales is pricing two new larger airplanes for its fleet. The Royal Flying Doctor Service provides medical services for patients in rural and remote locations. A spokeswoman for the state's health ministry said the new planes would need to double the current payload limit of about 300 pounds to nearly 600 pounds to keep pace with the need to transport larger patients. A similar trend has been noted in ambulances and helicopters. Although Australians are more frequently associated with a healthy image of active lifestyles, recent surveys indicate Australians are some of the most obese people on Earth. IATA, the International Air Transport Association, has released its annual forecast for the financial performance of airlines. Despite plunging fuel costs and a host of new fees, declining passenger volume is expected to result in a loss of $2.5 billion for the industry as a whole in 2009. Passenger traffic, which actually grew 2% in 2008, is projected to decline 3% this year. If that comes to pass, that would be the first drop in passenger volume since a 2.7% drop in 2001. Air cargo, which was already down 1.5% in 2008, is expected to take a 5% hit in 2009. Oil prices are predicted to average $60 a barrel for the year. IATA Director General Giovanni Bisignani sums it up, quote, "We face the worst revenue environment in 50 years, unquote. There is a bit of good news, at least in North America, where carriers have moved aggressively to cut capacity. For the continent as a whole, the industry is projected to see a small $300 million profit for the year. But Bisignani notes, quote, "North America will be the only region in the black, but the expected $300 million profit is less than 1% of their revenue. 2009 will be another tough year for everyone," unquote. You can read more detail in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Tis the season for airframe icing, and to help you review procedures which could potentially save your butt, ANN will be running a 7-part series called A Few Aero Tips for the Icing Season. We've enlisted the help of a guy who works for Cirrus Design in Duluth, Minnesota, as a member of the Flight Standards Department. He was born and raised in Milwaukee, so he knows his ice. Oh, and his real name is Scott Winter. Scott's series started yesterday with a feature entitled Changing Seasons. It continues today with an installment titled Inadvertent Encounters. Future installments will include help in decoding PIREPS. You can read Scott's excellent tips at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the family of a Navy pilot fights his reclassification to KIA. A pilot and his passenger are lost in a just-purchased Lancer 360. And if the BCS wants to honor smart people, how about a playoff system already? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 6th. I'm Paul Platt. When Desert Shield became Desert Storm in 1991, U.S. Navy Captain Michael Scott Speecher had the unfortunate distinction of being the first U.S. pilot shot down in the first Gulf War. He was immediately classified as killed in action, but 10 years later, a review board concluded there was insufficient evidence to make that leap, and he's been considered missing in action ever since. There was, in fact, evidence that he'd ejected, and over the years there were sightings reported, and the initials MSS were found written on the wall of a Baghdad prison. But now, even with cooperation from Iraqi officials since the fall of the Saddam Hussein regime, the trail is cold again. A recent intelligence community assessment is being evaluated this week by a Navy review board. Speecher's family believes the board will seek to change the captain's status back to killed in action. Family spokeswoman and attorney Cindy Laquadera says the Pentagon needs to do more to find out what actually happened before changing the airman's status again, especially because the case will likely set precedents that will have an effect on subsequent MIA cases. Quote, "This really is a precedent for every other captive serviceman or woman, and it needs to be done right. We've looked at the information that's going to be presented to the board, and we feel pretty confident that it's not time under the standards that they've set to change the status. There are things that need to be done before one can be certain," unquote. The review board is comprised of three officers, and they began meeting yesterday in an office near the Pentagon. The hearing is expected to last up to 4 days. The FAA and the NTSB are investigating the crash of a 1992 Lancair 360 at the Joliet, Illinois Regional Airport last Thursday night. The high-performance single-engine kit plane was landing on runway 12 when it reportedly went down near the end of the runway, so close to a fire station that the resulting fire was put out within moments, according to Joliet Fire Battalion Chief Leroy Aldridge. Winds at the time of the accident were 8 knots from 210 degrees. Lost in the incident were the pilot, 50-year-old Stuart Seffern, and 52-year-old Deborah Loisel, both of Madison, Wisconsin. The FAA database indicates Seffern recently bought the plane. And finally, the college bowl season will officially end on Monday with the FedEx BCS National Championship game, or, as we like to call it here in Utah, the Consolation Bowl. But I digress. Each of these bowl games is surrounded by media promotions to lengthen the event's time in the media spotlight, and last night's Tostitos Fiesta Bowl was no exception. Before Texas and Ohio State ran their first plays from scrimmage, one of the bowl's related events had already produced a winner. On Friday of last week, a team of 7th and 8th grade students from the Tempe Tri-City Christian Academy won out over 5 other area schools, building the best model of a next-generation space station in the Honeywell Fiesta Bowl Aerospace Challenge. The entries were judged by a panel of Honeywell engineers and NASA astronauts who quizzed the students about details such as power sources or how they'd use their space stations. The winners were honored at last night's game, and they'll enjoy a free trip to the Johnson Space Center in Houston. The contrast last night was surreal, seeing really smart people honored at a BCS event. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Studies at the Reason Foundation. Bob has advised several U.S. administrations on transportation, and he comments about what's ahead under the Obama team. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.